My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that ass again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Perfect.
Yeah?
Absolutely perfect. Why don't you, by the way, you didn't get to weigh in on that very much.
Why do you think?
You laid back.
Why do you think I laid back?
Because there were too many voices going at once.
Exactly.
But go ahead. Now's your chance. What do you think?
Now's my chance?
Yeah.
I'm nervous.
4 hours.
My chance to weigh in on Sirianni versus Kyle?
Well, it's not. Obviously, we're like, that's a concocted conversation. Sirianni
right.
versus Kyle.
And it's a layup right now after what we saw last night, because Philadelphia at home, they should have won that game. The
yes.
defense was good. They kept Atlanta out of the end zone for the most part. And you had a chance to run the ball, kick a field goal, go up six with a minute left, and win the game at home and show that you are a legitimate team in the NFL, but you didn't. And I do think a lot of it comes from the leadership, and I watch the way he carries on the sideline. And not every coach is the same. I get that. Philadelphia, to me, is a mirror image as a team of their head coach, meteoric. And you saw Gardner Johnson when he had the big stop on fourth down, and they said that his helmet just came off.
I couldn't believe that he convinced them of that. Of course it didn't.
He flipped his own helmet off, and whatever. It would have been a 15-yard penalty. They still would have had the ball. It would not have been Atlanta's ball because that was dead ball.
I don't think that's the way it works.
I'll have to look
yeah,
at it, but I do think
my impression
is that
was watching
on mute. To
first,
be honest,
first down for the Falcons.
I'm watching it next door to the baby's room, and the baby is getting story time. So I go volume off. I'm watching it, and I see him rip off his helmet, and I thought that was a dead ball, and that it, Philly would get it.
No,
I could be
so
wrong.
So, like, in fact, I'm 99% sure because even though you're right, it was a fourth down, and he got stopped.
Right.
But there's no been no, it's dead ball, but there's like, possession has not changed yet. It has not, like, you know what I mean? The play,
right.
It's all within the framework of that play. You're right, it's dead ball. Anyway, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Go
to
ahead.
Me, what that was a reflection of exactly what Philadelphia is, where you've got a player who clearly is more, I guess, focused on celebrating what he has just done as opposed to thinking about the greater good of the team. And Sirianni, in his hubris and his cockiness, tries to throw the ball on third down when a run probably wouldn't work and get you a touchdown, but it would eat 40 seconds and it would give you a better chance to win the game. But he thinks that I'm Nick Sirianni and I'm going to show you little play action, throw it to Saquon, and we're going to win this game my way.
You know what's so funny, though, or maybe that's not the right word. What I find fascinating about this conversation, and we really want to put it out to you, and we see you coming. We're going to go to you here right away. 888-957-9570. The word is arrogance, because we hear that about Kyle Shanahan all the time. Everything you just said points to what with Nick Sirianni? Arrogance.
Yep.
But there's different kinds of arrogances, if you will.
Right.
It's a different kind of arrogance. And I wonder which one sits with all of you better. Because I think when we're doing pro sports, you know, there's people who come off as not arrogant. Bruce Bochy, you know what I mean? Like, there's people who just come off as like, no, I'm just one of you, but I don't even know if that really exists. Do you know what it takes to succeed at that? Like, I mean, we're talking bajillions of dollars, the absolute dream job for everyone. Every kid grows up, right, wanting to do this if you like sports. And so there has to be some level of a very healthy ego to be able to do stuff like this. And so I think that Nick Sirianni and Kyle Shanahan both have a super duper healthy ego. But man, they land differently with me. The Nick Sirianni, and again, I'll just reiterate what I just said on the crossover. Nick makes it about him when something goes well. In other words, it's almost like you give me the credit. I want to be on TV. Because Jalen Hurts just made a play, or because A.J. Brown went over the middle and took a hit. I want to be on TV. Kyle Shanahan's arrogance, from what we hear from a lot of listeners, is often tucked into the way he calls a game. Like, my plays are so amazing that I can scheme anyone open, watch me cook, and I'm going to do something that's maybe like not what you expected me to do. That's like the football arrogance. Nick, to me, feels almost like the personal arrogance. And Steiny's right on one front. We're not there. I haven't covered the Eagles, so I don't know all the ins and outs. But it certainly seems to me like Nick has rubbed a lot of people in that building the wrong way in a short period of time, even though they've done their fair share of winning. And his job is completely hanging in the balance in a way that it probably shouldn't, largely because of his personality.
It's because he rubs people the wrong way. And he goes about it in a certain way. And I think about Sean McVay and, you know, Jim Harbaugh, I think, is in that same sort of category. And, you know, Dan Campbell does it a little bit differently, but he definitely injects his own personality and his own self into everything that the Lions do as well. So I'm just wondering what people want out of their head coach, because Sirianni is definitely a rah-rah guy. Pete Carroll was the same way, yep, where, you know, chewing the gum and slapping people in the back.
And it turned people off around here.
It did, and it turned people on when you're winning. It's like, oh, yeah, he's a motivator. He's a great motivator. But now you look at Sirianni, and, you know, last night is a good example of, I think, where you start to have a big divide for their team. But a lot of fans are down on Shanahan for not dissimilar reasons. Like, well, Shanahan thinks that he is so much smarter than everybody. He's so arrogant and all the rest of it. And you're right. Every one of these coaches has to have a certain amount of arrogance.
Yeah, but did you want Kyle running up and down the sideline, chest bumping Fred Warner when he picks off a ball? Do we want that?
No, I don't.
I don't want that. I didn't like it when Sean McVay did it. And this is like Sean McVay on a lot of steroids. On a whole lot of steroids. Oh, and I want to say this, Xfinity Mobile text line. There are a couple people about the play call. I want to be careful that we're saying this the right way, because 925 says the play call is Kellen Moore, not Nick Sirianni. I don't care about the play call. I care about the decision to even do what they did. That's a conceptual thing. Does Kellen draw up the play? Sure. But to me, it's on the head coach when you're going to be in third and short and you're going to decide, no, we're throwing the ball. We're throwing the ball. They have no timeouts, and we're throwing the ball because we're going to surprise them. I have a hard time believing that Nick doesn't have a hand in that. Like, he has to.
Well, doesn't he have the final say? Is he not listening to the play calls as they go through? Or is he completely oblivious to the play
call? I think that's what's going on in that headset.
Right. Yeah. So he's hearing it, and he has the ability to say, no, we're not throwing it here, Kellen. We're going to run it because we're not throwing it on third down where it could be incomplete. And yeah, the play design was good. He was wide open in the flat. I don't think he scores a touchdown, but if he catches it, he gets the first down for sure.
Yeah, and that's all they need. Fall down.
He dives down at the five, and it's kneel, and we'll see you next time.
It is an interesting concept, though, for those who haven't sort of like had this discussion yet. What was it? Third and two? Is that what it was? Third and two?
That sounds about right.
Grandy, right? Okay. So third and two. Say you run it up the middle with your silly little brotherly shove, tush-push dealio. Say you go do that, okay? Or just hand it to Saquon up the middle. And let's say you get stopped. I think it's reasonable to assume that you're at least going to get back to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, third and three.
Or maybe get a yard.
Yep.
Or, right? Worst case scenario, now another 45 seconds comes off. You're just over a minute left in the game. And, oh, by the way, you now have what? Fourth and about a yard or two. I wonder if I could think of something Philadelphia often does in that situation. Mm. Can anyone think of something? Like, dude, run your identity play. You're probably going to get the first down and end the game. Worst thing that could happen is that you give the ball to Atlanta with 58 seconds to go, no timeouts, and the ball inside their own 5-yard line. How on earth is that not the option that you pick?
And it would be less than 58 seconds because Atlanta was out of timeouts.
Well, no, because at fourth down, though, that stops the clock. If you didn't get it on fourth,
right,
you would have run the 45 off for the third down play. That would get it to about a minute. That would have gotten it down to about a minute.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you don't get it on fourth down, and so there's 50, 55 seconds, whatever it is. And, yeah, now Kirk Cousins has to go. He has to just get a field goal, though, at that point. No, you're down six, so he needs a touchdown.
Well, no, you're right that it would have only been three because you wouldn't have kicked the field goal to go up by six. You would still be up by three.
I think I would have kicked the field goal to go up six, and you make Cousins go, score a touchdown with 58 seconds left. Well,
that's kind of what they did.
Right. I mean, but you would think that, I don't know.
Yeah, you would think.
You would think that you could stop them in that spot. But they also ran the brotherly shove earlier in that drive, you remember. And before that, there was the intentional offsides by Atlanta, and Sirianni declines it.
Correct.
Which I guess is a smart thing to do.
Well, it kept the clock moving. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, they were trying to. That's what they were trying to do. They were trying to save a timeout, and Nick was like, no, we're not doing it. And in his very typical Nick way, instead of just looking at the ref and being like, decline, we've got to run 20 yards.
Yeah.
And then we got to get a face. We got to make sure some saliva comes flying out. Decline. Decline.
Totally.
Decline.
I'm
Big
with you.
Dumb. Let's decline. What a chump. I can't believe that guy. Oh, I do not enjoy watching him coach at all. Matt in San Rafael, 888-957-9570. Hi, Matt. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. It's so funny that this came up because I actually had this conversation with two of my sons today about Kyle. First, I think Stein has reached a point where he was just being a contrarian. I think he knew he was wrong.
No.
Not him. No.
Steiny?
No.
That doesn't happen on this station.
He sort of shares a quality that Kyle has, which is a desire to not admit that he's wrong. But regarding Shanahan, I totally agree with everything that you're saying. Sirianni rubs me the wrong way. He just always has. It's the thing last year in Kansas City. It's like, when does a coach say, how do you like me? It's like, you're not a player. You're a coach. Shut up and do your job. But regarding Kyle, and this is sort of an issue that I've had and that came up Sunday and that it kind of crystallized. If you look at the last four of the last six losses, but four that were the same, you take Cleveland out because they had the injuries, the rain, and they could have won it. You take Cincy out because Burrow played his brains out and they just physically beat the hell out of the Niners. The other four losses, the DCs schemed so that Kyle's bread and butter was taken away. The middle of the field was taken away. The first read was taken away. And then they ran all kinds of various pressures. My issue with Kyle is he doesn't adjust. After the game, he said, no, Ayuk was open. If he had hit him, we had him, but there were breakdowns, there were pressures, and that sort of thing. His job is to put his players in the best position to succeed. But Kyle keeps saying, no, run my system. It's going to work if you do it right. Sometimes it's not going to work, and you have to change. And to me, this is Kyle's hubris coming up in the most extreme situations, because that's when it's tested, and that is he hasn't learned humility to say, hey, you know what, maybe I need to think about this a different way. He just says, no, I'm going to do it my way, and it's blown up in his face really the last four times that it's come up. So anyway, that's my thought on Kyle. I love him as a coach other than that, and I really hope he learns this, because this team, I think, has a chance to win it.
Matt, thank you. It's a really good call. I wonder how people feel about that, this idea. And we hear that a lot. Kyle is hesitant to change. I wanted to sit there and talk with Matt for longer. Like, what change in that situation would you like to see? I argue that most coaches spend most of the game trying to run their system. And it's always a blend with how do you adjust that if you see something that's not working versus then the players going out there to execute it. Like, for instance, when he said Ayuk was open, I believe that what he then said next was sort of an indication that Ayuk was open, we didn't have the time to throw it to him because our offensive line was often getting beat. Okay, so what adjustment do you make there? Do you keep Kittle there and put more tight ends in so that you have extra blockers? You know, like, I don't want a football coach to go all Avery Johnson. And if you've been a Warrior fan for a long time, you know what I'm talking about, which is just suddenly change what you do because you had a bad quarter and a half. You know what I mean?
I do, but they also, later in the game, they did have a lot of times where they just kept seven in the block and they only had two in the route because they were having a hard time with the pass production, or pass protection, rather. So they did change a little bit what they did. And the caller's right about Minnesota and how they schemed it. They took away the middle of the field, which is Brandon Ayuk's bread and butter, and they brought a lot of pressure. And so you saw Brock Purdy really struggle to find open receivers down the field.
We're sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get this discussion going. And we watched Nick Sirianni last night. That was one kind of arrogance. So many of our listeners and 49er fans through the years have talked about the Kyle Shanahan arrogance. Which one hits you which way? 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll take your calls. Mark Schlereth and Kevin Harlan are both on the show today. This is Weathered and Dibs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Not insulting Brockford, but
now back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, Mark Schlereth in a half hour. Kevin Harlan.
He's awesome.
He's the best.
Yep.
He's the best. That's going to be at 4:15. And the rest of it is going to be you here on Willie and Dibby. And look, it's well traveled on this show. I'm a Shanna fan. I don't hide from that. It's sort of interesting if I turn the spotlight on myself. Like, why does Nick Sirianni bother me so much? All right. Well, part of it is he's the coach of the Eagles. Like, I'm not stupid enough to not admit that. Part of it is he's the coach of the Eagles. And the Eagles and Niners kind of have a thing. We've had a thing the last few years. And so that's a very big part of it. I'll admit that bias. Hello?
Yep.
Sure. However, whether it be Sean McVay or Pete Carroll, who, by the way, if you're of a certain age, 49er fan, Pete Carroll used to be one of us. We loved Pete Carroll. And then I covered Pete Carroll for years when he was at USC. Director of Sports, Lucas Alexander, very excited about that fact. I covered those teams. I got to know Pete. Pete was very, very good to me.
Totally, Grandy. Thank you.
Thank you. I mean, not like in a, like, we didn't have dinner together, but Pete and I had some conversations. Pete was great. And then he chewed gum and went to my rival. Bleep you, Pete. There's something about that thing on the sideline. That's what it, to me, that's the best way I can describe it. When I see a leader of other people who go do the work, then the leader tries to make it about them. That bothers me.
I wonder if it bothered you when Jim Harbaugh was the Niner coach, because Jim Harbaugh is that guy. And the what's your deal with Jim Schwartz or and the handshake gate.
That was
and,
with Pete.
Right, and the handshake with Schwartz.
With Schwartz,
he shook his hand, he slapped him on the back and kind of pushed him away.
Harbaugh's a weirdo.
Harbaugh made it about himself, and ultimately that led to his own demise and his own ouster. So I wonder if you can think about Mark Willard in the early 2010s and the early 2000s when he was your guy, Niner fan. How did you feel about him then?
Yeah,
Willard.
Well, was
it? Sorry, that's too much. Yeah. Too heavy handed. Like, sorry.
No, I never felt like as a fan that connected, not nearly as connected, I should say, as to a Shanahan, a Bill Walsh, like the other most successful 49er head coaches in the past. Certainly I loved that the 49ers got a lot better, and then they got a lot worse. And I was always like partially amused and partially confused by him. And then let me also admit, I didn't cover that particular team. So I wasn't as close to it as like what we do now. But he's a weirdo. The Jim Schwartz thing was odd. The funniest thing that never gets remembered to me about Jim Harbaugh was that press conference he held during the Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick thing. That was when he lost me. When you have a press conference, and for those who don't remember, because this is a long time ago now, where Kaepernick had come in for the injured Alex, and he was slinging it, man. He was playing. And it got to a point where Alex got healthy, and Jim had to pick a quarterback. And he held a press conference, and everyone knew This was going to be the announcement. Who's starting this week? They're both healthy. And Jim goes, we're going to go with Colin and Alex. We're going to go with Colin and Alex because Alex is on our football team too. And I was just like, dude, you're just weird. And I'll admit to you also, because of proximity, I was not aware of how much Jim rubbed people in the building the wrong way.
Right, right.
And so there's a lot of Sirianni in Harbaugh.
For sure.
Spoiler alert, the Chargers will be better.
Right.
And then they will hate Jim.
Exactly.
Within 5 years.
It's a five-year shelf life.
Yes.
And he lasted longer than that in Michigan, and he left a trail of despair and sanctions that he would have to face if he ever made it back to college. So, yeah, he's more than just a weirdo. He lives outside the lines, and just everything he did here from, you know, demanding that he had his own bathroom built in the coach's office to alienating the owner and all the rest of it. But it's something about Sirianni. Also, it bothers me, and maybe for me, it's the fact that he is the Philadelphia Eagles head coach, because I am, my default among sports fandom is to root against Philadelphia in all ways.
No,
and that's
what.
The Sixers,
yeah.
And that's the Phillies, and the Eagles, and even if the Flyers happen to make the Stanley Cup playoffs, I don't pay a lot of attention to hockey, but if Philadelphia has a good team, I hope the Rangers beat him, or the Lightning, or any other team in the Eastern Conference in hockey. I'm just down on Philly sports fan. I love when they get angry. We have Howard Eskin on our show occasionally, and he is the epitome of the Philly sports fan. And I'm sure Philly Sports Talk today, they're burying this guy.
God.
It's got to be an absolute inferno.
That was absolutely a hot mess, and the crowd was stunned. Stunned,
yep.
Silent. And again, for anybody who had anything go wrong with their fantasy or their bets or whatever in that game, I'm one of you. I feel for you, but I totally was able to recover because it was the Eagles and Nick Sirianni. And I'm like, that makes me just happy.
Right.
That's just a happy moment. I'm like, Nick's not happy, so I'm happy. Like, you deserve that. You deserve that. And Saquon, I love Saquon Barkley. And Saquon handled it the way you'd love to see a real leader handle it. The only time you make it about you is when it's wrong, not when it's right. That's another key piece to this. How did Fred Warner handle it the other day when they asked him about a 97-yard reception to Justin Jefferson? Fred's not looking at the DCs, not looking at the DBs. He goes, I was supposed to get home with the quarterback, and I didn't. So that's on me. Even though all of us know, dude, it's not on you. But that's leadership. That's leadership. If that play had gone well, what would Fred have said? Well, DC's put me in a wonderful position, and the other guys took up a couple blockers, and so I was able to cook. How many years now has Fred Warner said that he's able to play as well as he does because of the presence of Dre Greenlaw? Well, now there's no Dre Greenlaw. How's Fred look?
Yeah.
How's he doing without
pretty
Dre?
Good, yep.
He's the best player in the damn game.
Right.
So it is Fred, but his leadership style will never point the positive spotlight on himself. And that's what Sirianni does that drives me nuts, especially because he didn't even have a helmet.
Exactly. And that's where I would default to Shanahan, because when things don't go right, he doesn't usually or almost ever point the finger at, you know, the players who didn't make a play or the officials who didn't make the right call. It's about the team. It's about we didn't execute and, you know, the offensive line or his calls or his scheme. He doesn't often point the finger elsewhere than to the overall team unit. And I love that about a head coach. It's leadership.
I'm looking at a whole like board of all the NFL teams just to jog my memory of all the coaches.
Yep.
And I'm trying to think, is there any other coach that I would argue in the NFL, when a play goes well, makes it about him? I think McVay did it once, but I think he learned his lesson. You don't see him run into the end zone and jump on people's shoulders anymore.
Right.
So that's good. And by the way, I don't mind personality, okay? How about McDaniel in Miami? We love Mike. Mike's a wackadoodle. He's hilarious. He always looks like he's coming out of, he looks like Bradley Cooper in the movie The Hangover. Like, he's got those shades on. Always looks like he was out till 3 a.m.
And the hair has grown out now, too.
Tremendous.
It's a little wild.
I love Mike, but Mike's not over here going, whenever Tyreek Hill scores, do you see Mike doing somersaults on the sideline? No. Turn around, walk away, get ready for the next play. I don't need you to fit into a box. But to me, that's leadership, especially in football. These dudes' bodies are on the line. They go out there and make a play. Let them go dance in the end zone. Let them have that moment. They're the ones that are doing the blood, sweat, and tears. And you'll get your credit. You'll get your credit. But that, to me, is a very, very big thing in leadership. If it goes well, push everybody else around you forward. If it goes bad, shove them behind you.
Exactly.
That's the way to do it, and Nick does the opposite.
Right, and I think because of that, that's partly why there is definitely a divide between he and not only the fan base, but maybe the starting quarterback as well. And you heard rumors from last year that they were not on the same page, Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. And you have a game like last night, and that's a classic time where the head coach should step up and say, you know, I probably should have run the ball. I put Saquon in a tough spot, and Jalen Hurts, I put them in a difficult situation where, you know, if we do complete that, we're probably going to win the game. But, you know, looking back at it, I probably should have run the ball. And, you know, a little humility and a little ownership is what you're talking about.
Like, absolutely. And so let's take that to things that we've seen from Kyle Shanahan through the years. Let's go back to last year in Minnesota. And I've always described what he did with Steve Wilks in that game as simply a surprise. I found it to be very surprising. I thought it was telling. This is no criticism of Steve Wilks. It was more a moment where I went, oh, something's wrong in that relationship. But I can also say this. If Kyle were really being an awesome leader in that moment, he wouldn't have said it that way. Because, again, what do you do as a leader when things don't go well? You take all your people and you shove them behind your back. And you stick your chest out and you take the bullet for them. That's what you're supposed to do. Because you get paid the most, you have the word head in front of the name coach. And so you're the guy. And that's the way it works. And it's fair and unfair, we know this. Coaches get wins and losses, quarterbacks get wins and losses, nobody else gets wins and losses.
Right.
Nobody else. So, but that's the way it works, and so we miss the context sometime, and that's fine. But yeah, I don't love it when the leader of the football team does a press conference to be like, so the other people all know that they messed up. I don't know. Did you not hear? Like,
well, we had that last year from Shanahan.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, which
that,
is
in Minnesota. Like, right. Don't. That's not good.
It's not good. But it was pretty obvious. And, you know, this year you had the same thing in Minnesota. And we can play the Brian Baldinger cut on the way he broke down the 97-yard touchdown reception from Justin Jefferson.
Got
but
it right here.
If it was last year or if it was Steve Wilks as the coordinator, I wonder if Kyle would respond differently. Because for me, last year the zero blitz at the end of the half and Mooney Ward tried to get the pick and he didn't. They scored a touchdown and that turned the game. This one's not too dissimilar in that it was a devastating play.
Totally.
And the defensive coordinator might have messed up with the way he schemed it.
Like, listen, I'll admit, you know, sort of our layman's weakness, which is that we're just, I always say, we're just sitting on a couch with bad food in front of us.
Right.
I don't know how this whole thing, every single piece of how the play call comes together. I understand that on defense, that's the defensive coordinator's responsibility. I get that. And so I'm not saying on the sideline, Kyle should have run up a flight of stairs the same way he did when Brandon Ayuk was about to get traded and be like, Steve, stop. Sounds like a terrible play call. Let's do something. No, dude, you've got 30 seconds. I understand that other people on the sideline do have responsibility. But I also wonder if Kyle Shanahan, if he was given that press conference again, might choose his words a little bit differently. Look, we got caught in a play call there that I didn't like, or we don't really feel, looking back on it, like it was the right thing. That was unfortunate, and we as a coaching staff have had that conversation, and we will try to not be making that mistake in the future. That would land so differently with people. Even if that makes Kyle's skin crawl. I get it. Even if it makes your skin crawl. Because maybe, Kyle, you had nothing to do with it. But you have the word head in front of the word coach. That's the way you do it. I think, I think that's the way you try to do it.
You should. Or if you're going to do what you did last year, then that normally would portend to where that person's going to be replaced and removed immediately, not at the end of the year. So when you say that, and you know he knows he can't do that, wow, that was pretty scathing. And yet Steve Wilks was able to coach through the rest of the year, and then he got fired about 9 minutes after the Super Bowl ended.
Right, and even though some of the games still looked really good, their defense looked amazing in Jacksonville after the bye. Yeah. It looked great in the Super Bowl
and
for the majority of it.
Maybe Kyle learned his lesson coming off of Sunday's game where you had another situation where you blitzed and you had two safeties deep. You had two of your corners who were not guarding their best player. That feels to me like a schematic breakdown.
Well, you referenced what Baldy, who was great this morning on the morning roast, you referenced what he said about that play. I referenced yesterday that Richard Sherman came down on the defensive coordinators, Nick Sorensen, Brandon Staley. What are you guys doing? What was that setup? You can't put your safeties in that position with the best wide receiver in the league. Baldy seems to agree.
I don't know what they're thinking. Diamador Lenore is on the other side of the field guarding grass. Like there's nothing over there. There's no work. You got Naylor and Jefferson over here in a stack. Like I don't know why you would drop down your backup safety in that situation. You know, him and Tig are the safeties in the play, and Odom is down there. If you're going to play that stack, at least put Treverius on Justin right there and let Ward take Naylor. Like, I mean, at least put your best corner on the best receiver in that situation. And so not only did they get caught with their second corner on the other side of the field, but they got caught with, their third safety on Jefferson like that. And that's, Sam saw that all the way. I think he saw a pre-snap, actually. Sure. The biggest play that I've seen the 49ers give up since Shanahan has been there, happened on the play.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, looking back on this, in the moment, you're just frustrated. You can't believe that it plays out that way. But the more sort of NFL people I listen to, this was set up very, very incorrectly. And they tried to blitz, and I think that they thought that that would handle it. And once again, like all game long, the Vikings' offensive line won this football game. They were incredible. They won the game. Yeah. I know Nick was okay, but the Viking offensive line won that football game.
Yeah, I thought Nick was great. And he had two sacks, and he had another pressure. And Floyd, I don't believe he recorded a tackle. And your guy, Javon Hargrave, in the middle, who's supposed to be a great pass rusher in the interior, he's not doing anything.
He's not
so
good.
I would excuse Nick Bosa from this criticism because I thought that he was really good. He was disruptive, but he didn't get any help in the pass rush. And that 97-yard touchdown drive, or touchdown throw rather, was one of only four times they blitzed. So Nick Sorensen and his defensive approach was, we're just going to rush four, and that's going to be good enough, and it wasn't good enough. And they got beaten in the run game, and Sam Darnold was mostly unpressured in the game. So I wonder if going forward in this next game here against the Rams, without two of their top wide receivers, if they try to heat up Matthew Stafford a little bit, because they didn't do that to Sam Darnold. They made it too easy on
him. Well, this is what I look for. When people sort of wonder, okay, why are you a fan of this coach? Why are you not a fan of that coach? And maybe this is like the training through the years of watching Steve Kerr coach the Warriors, the training of when I was in LA watching Phil Jackson coach the Lakers. Does it mean that schematically they're perfect? Of course not. Of course not. Steve Kerr's rotations coming up soon on 95.7 The Game.
Right.
We're only a couple months away. But it doesn't mean that they're schematically perfect. The number one thing I look for in a coach that we can see from the outside is togetherness. Steiny was making the point, well, people have been frustrated with Kyle before. Nobody's ever, ever free from frustration. It's football. It's emotional. You ever worked at a restaurant? Everybody's screaming at each other all the time in the back. And this is football. This is 18 times as emotional and a billion times more physical. So sure, people are going to be frustrated. But what I've loved about the Kyle Shanahan era is that the Niners usually look together. They're buttoned up most of the time. And if there's a concern I have right now with what I see, it's not that Christian and Debo are going to be out. It's that the defensive coordinators have been caught again in Minnesota letting people get over the top, number one, and Charvarius Ward, after two games, is already speaking into microphones going like, well, I would rather play this way, but that's not the game plan the coaches are giving me.
Yeah.
We're two games in.
Two games.
To a new defensive regime.
Right.
And you got a loss, you got a corner saying he'd do it a different way, and the entire NFL media being like, what the hell were you doing?
Yeah. And you look
not good.
Not good at all. And you look at what this team has been over virtually every year, and it's been a new defensive coordinator almost every year. You have Sorensen. You had Steve Wilks. You had D'Amico Ryans. You had Robert Saleh. And I know that it's good that these guys are going out and getting head coaching jobs. That means that they're good coaches and that they deserve their promotion to be head coaches. But you're going year after year with a new defensive coordinator, and so far, it's not really working. I'm just looking at the numbers, and they are second to last in blitz percentage. They've only blitzed six times in two games. 9.5% of dropbacks. Their pressure rate is toward the bottom of the league. Their sack numbers toward the bottom of the league. And I know it's a small sample, just two games in, but you saw it on Sunday. You didn't heat up Sam Darnold at all, really. And other than Nick Bosa, you had no heat on him.
You said six blitzes the whole season?
According to Pro Football Reference.
And one of them ended with a Justin Jefferson gritty.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A gritty, a 97-yard gritty.
A 97-yard gritty.
Super gritty.
I was surprised he had the energy left to do the gritty after that. That's tiring.
That is. The Falcons have blitzed four times in two games. The Niners have blitzed six times in two games, according to ProFootballReference.com.
Huh.
Meanwhile, Minnesota, your leading blitz team, they've blitzed 33 times, Mark. 33 out of 78 pass attempts, they've blitzed. So you saw it on Sunday where Minnesota's bringing five, they're bringing six, and they're bringing them from all different angles. And I know every defense is not the same, and the Niners are more a team that is just going to rush four and trust the other seven. But I'd like to see them mix it up a little bit and maybe bring a little bit more heat at times.
There's only two good things that happened with that Kirk Cousins drive last night. Well, one is that Sirianni was upset. That's number one.
Well, I know a couple other ones.
Number two is I was sitting there going, dude, Saquon drops the ball, and that turns into a six-point Eagles lead instead of a three-point Eagles lead, and Fade the Dibbers had done Falcons plus 5.5.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I was chuckling a little bit. I'm like, oh, he's not going to be happy about this. This is a bad beat. Remember earlier you talked? I'm like, that wasn't a bad beat. This was a bad beat.
This would not have been a bad beat.
It would have been a bad beat. If Saquon catches the ball, the Eagles win by three. Ball game over. Ball game over. And you would have won. And then they kick a field goal, and I'm like, oh, he's going to lose. And then he didn't lose.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Well, honestly,
on your win.
I don't think it would have been a bad beat because Philly deserved to win that game by six. They should have kicked a field goal. They should have won by six. They were in a prime position. And the beauty of it for me was in my pick'em pool where there's actual money involved, I had the Falcons plus 6.5. So deep down,
oh, I thought they were 5.5.
5.5 was the real time, but the pool I'm in,
now I'm even more upset.
The spreads come out on Tuesday, so I already have my sheet for the week. And those numbers don't change. So that spread actually went from 6.5 to 5.5. So Fade the Dibbers, whatever. I don't want to lose that because I'm proud to be a winner and I won again. But
that's not
for
good.
Me, in the money pool, I'm thinking, go ahead and kick the field goal, Philly. I got 6.5.
I didn't know that.
Is winner.
That makes me more mad.
And the little cherry on top, Grandy.
No.
Oh, no. Yes.
No.
The L for Grandy.
Dude,
I'm going to call him Glandy.
I'm starting to feel bad for the guy.
Yeah.
I'm 0-2. You don't need to keep rubbing it in, okay?
I do.
And then remember last year in
also,
the playoffs?
Also, the flip side of this is Steiny won. You can't be happy about that.
Yeah,
it hurts me a little bit.
That's a good point that he just made there.
But his
point
team,
for Grandy.
His team's overrated.
Yeah. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. All right. How about somebody who played for all the Shanahans? What makes a good coach? Yeah, how does Sirianni fit into this? How does Shanahan fit into it? McVay, Mark Schlereth is going to join us next on Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.